A very good afternoon to you. This is The Property Show. It's Sunday. I'm joined by Mike, small partner at VSM Consulting, and Ludmila Yamalova, managing partner of HPL Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants. Ludmila, just finishing up with the service charges.
Yes, just one sort of last comment is that there have been a few studies done by the owners themselves and the association management to determine if there are ways to reduce, in particular, the utility charges. And so some of the energy saving schemes, for example, have involved increasing the temperature in the common areas in the hallway, and I think we would all agree that a lot of the common areas are just way too cold at any given time of the year. The other option is to just keep the doors closed, windows closed, basically just to kind of minimize the expenditure of utilities. But then also I think in the Express article there was a quote from one of the residents that said that they've tried in their association, they've tried exactly that, but yet their fees have gone up anyway because, for some other sort of, expenses, additional expenses. And this is the problem. We do need some sort of regulations that would cap increases in any one of these for any one of these services, be it a DIWA, be it housing fees, be it, district cooling, be it management fees, insurance, or service fees in general. So, there has to be some sort of regulation because, without it, who says that in 6 months' time, the same sort of utilities, the same parties are not going to come back and increase those fees, yet another 50%.
Well, again, you don't need a cap because once you get caps, you start to distort the economics of it. You need transparency. Mm. You need to understand where the costs are going. So you need full transparent accounts that the residents association and the developer can actually agree on and say these are the costs and this is what it will be. Mm-hmm. And if everyone got that, they can argue about the detail when they get it, but at least that's where you start from.
And it's interesting because you're absolutely right, Mike. And in fact, even Nikhil, some of the sort of executives from Nikhil had come on record and said that they would be able to lower service fees by something like 30%. Well, if that's the case, how so? I mean, what's changed? So, and the problem is that we're just speculating, and from some accounts, I think our speculation probably are quite accurate, that there are ways to reduce these service fees quite significantly. But until we've got the transparency and until we know exactly what costs how much, we're basically in that kind of a no man's land.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about new territory, we've had some auctions over the last little week.
Yes,
and
we did.
Two sets of auctions.
Yes, indeed.
How did they go?
We talked about auctions actually first last year in December, and we attended some auctions then as well. And actually the December auctions, I think November, December auctions were the first set of auctions that were now being hosted by the Land Department. And so since then, this is the second round of these auctions. And there were 2 days earlier last week, I think Monday and Wednesday, where all in all, I think nine properties were listed. And so we attended those and just kind of give a little bit of give a little bit of background as to how these auctions come about and why they're so relevant. They relate to really foreclosure and mortgages and defaults because the only properties that are now being auctioned off are actually those that the banks have foreclosed on. The foreclosure law, and this is, we've been waiting for this development for quite some time. The reason it's taking so long, and obviously we're expecting a lot more of these auctions moving forward, given the rate of default that we all know about. But the reason it's taking this long is just, I guess, sort of the unprecedented nature of foreclosures to begin with, and also the magnitude of the default, and also the time it's taking for the courts to process a foreclosure requests, and then for them to kind of to make it to the auction. And just sort of by way of a quick debrief, the foreclosure laws in Dubai work as follows. There are two steps to it. One is the court action. You have to file a request with the court to foreclose on the property, and two, you have to sell that property at an auction once you've had a request or a judgment from the court. So those two steps are necessary. In other words, there is no option of what's called, what some may refer to as voluntary foreclosure, whereby, for example, a defaulter will go to the bank, hands his keys and says, I cannot pay anymore, please take away the property, which is obviously very common, in England and in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So there is that option is just not available under the law. So number one, banks have to go through the courts. Under the Dubai foreclosure Malaysia law, there is an expedited, what's supposed to be an expedited process of getting those court orders allowing banks to foreclose. That's in the law. In practice, however, and that's why I say it's unprecedented, in practice it has taken a lot longer for the courts to process those requests, and that expedited form hasn't really been expedited. So it has taken, you know, in some cases, we've seen reports that, you know, it's, in some cases it's taken more than a year for the courts to issue these foreclosure orders. Once you have the foreclosure orders, then you have to go to the auction. So even then, banks are not allowed to basically just retain that property in their own portfolio to manage, you know, for example, to create their own, you know, real estate arm like they are in the U.S. once again.
It's probably a good thing, though, because banks, you know, banks aren't property experts, so... Don't burden them with another job they can't
right,
do.
Because also that could also that, you know, they may have an incentive basically to foreclose on these properties that much more if, you know, if they can actually fold them into their own portfolio and then, you know, maximize.
Well, you don't want to give them an incentive to do that anyway. I don't think. I think what you want the banks to be is nice and clean. So the best way to make them clean is if they've got bad assets, get them sold and get the price and then know where their losses are and move on.
And you know, and that's exactly. I would speculate that's probably the basis for why this law is drafted the way it's drafted. But the problem is that it has not really the auction process has not taken or has not happened as fast as you know, we would have expected. And so this is really only the second round of auctions. You know, and each one of these days, only 4 to 5 properties were auctioned off.
Were they well attended?
Excuse me.
Well, they well attended the auctions.
They were well attended. Yeah. You know, within reason. So on the first day, you know, out of 5 properties, 3 were sold, and on the second day, out of 4 properties, also 3 were sold. And just in terms of
why were the others not sold? Was there a reserve price set by the bank or not?
Just no interest at all.
No interest at all.
Yeah.
All right.
So and just in terms of process, the way it works is that in order to become a bidder, first all bidders have to put down 20%. With the land department before the auction, mm-hmm. So they have put down a deposit, and then a copy of their passport copy, and then if they become a successful bidder, then they must pay the total amount for the property right there and then.
Yeah, and they're not allowed to look at the properties beforehand, or inspect it?
There are booklets. The land department does issue booklets of, you know, the details of the property, including the floor plan, and also sort of any kind of relevant details, such as, for example, if a property is leased, and in fact, one of the properties that had not been sold was leased at sort of a kind of a long-term lease for what may seem like a very minimal rent, and so it is possible that one of the reasons why that did not sell was because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
You are listening to The Property Show. Ludmila Yamalova and Mike Small are here. But after that, we will be discussing more of the real estate and financial headlines making news in our region.